from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way away from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they'd done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. I have a friend in the Jackson, Mississippi area named Joe Tubb. I thought I might get a response from Kenny and Gerald this morning. He's also a friend of theirs. Joe's a longtime equipment salesman and a great friend to everyone who calls him friend. Joe told me a story once as I was sharing in an equipment business when I lived in St. Louis, the family and I. He said, "I had this real tough customer in the Jackson area, and I had never sold him so much as a claw hammer, much less a rubber tire case backhoe. In Joe's mind, the best rubber tire backhoe on the face of the earth." And he said, "I decided once to take that tough cookie custer of mine fishing. We went down to the bayous of Louisiana, and we went red fishing, and we caught a few speckled trout." And he said, "The whole time we were there, we laughed, we ate good, we had a wonderful time, and we never talked about construction equipment the entire weekend." He said, "We came back home the next week, and that tough cookie customer called me up and said, 'Joe, I want you to come see me. I'm looking at buying a new rubber tire backhoe.'" And Joe was nervous. He took a local used equipment dealer with him. He knew that there would be a massive amount of trade-ins. He just felt that this guy would beat him down all the way on his prices. And he went with all of his detail, all of his data, to get ready for the equipment discussion and decisions. And when he arrived, there was no trade-ins. Just one question: "How much does it cost?" And the reply was, "I want three of them today." Now the difference. The difference, my friend Joe would say in a professional setting, was the person first had to feel that he cared before he trusted him and wanted to invest his livelihood and his profession with him. You see, Joe taught me a lesson. It's sometimes what we do that speaks more about who we are than what we say or what we sell. Friends, we as a church have begun a mission emphasis each month in our congregation. And as we consider, as we've hit these goals, as I celebrated with you, beginning worship today, we've already hit the goals for the first 2 months, surpassed those goals for the Together for TIPA, to provide backpacks for kids in school, learning aids, sometimes clothing, to support the ministry of the TIPA County Good Samaritan Center that provides food for elderly and needy families in our community. You've surpassed those goals. And in that discussion, we've had some of us informally, the question is there, why do we do that? Why do we do missions? Why do we practice the faith? I think the example of my friend Joe in the business world certainly applies in the faith. Sometimes when we show people how much we care, they're willing to listen to the God we serve. You see, sometimes our actions indeed speak so loudly that our words can't even be heard if we try. We, dear friends, are showing the love of Christ. And what's the result? You see, it's not just about equipment sales or even mission work in Ripley Presbyterian Church. Friends, this is symbolized in the very gospel of our faith and practiced by our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen with me again to how our scripture began today. In the very first verse of chapter 5, Luke records this. He says, "Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God." Now let's back up a minute and remember what Luke the evangelist has told us thus far. Remember last week, the previous 2 weeks, we talked about Jesus going home to Nazareth, him going home to Galilee like TIPA County would be to us. He'd been baptized in the faith by John the Baptist. He'd gone into the wilderness where he'd been tempted, and now the first public act Jesus did, as recorded in Luke, was he went back home to care for the poor, to practice the faith, to bring healing to those in need. And what was the result of Jesus living the faith, of doing the faith, of embodying missions to a community in need outside of these walls? What was the result? Our scripture tells us today the crowds were pressing in on him because they now wanted to hear what he had to say. He had proven that he was worth listening to. He was had proven that he was the real deal. His actions had spoken, and now the people wanted to hear from his voice. Friends, we practice the faith to introduce people to the faith so they will be willing to hear of the love and salvation of Jesus Christ. That's why we do the faith. That's why we embody the act of service. That's why we walk in the ways of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's just a little snippet of where we've been. But in this text today, I think there's a shift that really speaks to us, a real significant example of why Peter was so central to the life of the early church, or why Jesus would ultimately describe Peter as the rock upon who I would build my church. Let's take a look and examine what this lesson of text today tells us a little more about Peter. In the scripture, we know that Peter was at a vulnerable position. Now, I really appreciate that Luke has been that intimate with us as God's people this morning. He says to us in verse 5, when Jesus was preaching in the boats and Jesus invited Peter to go out into deeper waters and put down a net, here's what Peter said: "Master, we have worked hard all night long and have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the net." You know what I hear there? Honestly, think about this. I hear in Peter's response, I hear he's tired. We've worked all night. He's give out. He's exhausted. And not only is he tired, here's the other thing. He's frustrated. You know, think about it, Coach LeBrier. They've worked, and they're tired, and they just got their brains beat out on the baseball or softball field or on the basketball court. We know those feelings if we've ever participated in competitive sport or in work. Kenny, we've worked and we've tired ourselves. We've estimated every cost on the job, and then we don't get it, and we're tired and we're frustrated. Price, we've prepared ourselves for a legal discussion. We're tired. We've worked long hours, and then the outcome doesn't come that we had anticipated. We are frustrated. You see, this is part of our story. Peter's story here today. Professionally, athletically, academically, Ryan, this is the story of what it means to be a human being. Sometimes we get tired. And oftentimes when we're tired, we get frustrated and overwhelmed. And I don't know about you, sometimes we just want to throw in the towel. You know, Noah, this past week, he had a tough spell in school. And he sent me a text at 1:58 a.m. the other morning. I didn't reply. I got him back. I replied about 5 a.m. when I woke up. He didn't reply. But his text said this: I just don't know if I can do it anymore. I don't think I know how to study anymore. I was making good grades when I first got into college, but now these upper level courses are so hard, I just don't think I can go on to graduate school, Dad. I just don't think I'm smart enough. That was kind of the gist of his reply. As he was lamenting this hard zoology test, I don't even know how to spell that word, that he was going to have to take this week in pre-med studies. And I wrote him back and said, you know, son, I found in life that when I'm tired, I'm usually frustrated too. And that's not a good time to make big decisions. Why don't you give it a little time? Get through this rough spot and then prayerfully see where God will lead you in your career. He appreciated that response. A couple of days later, after he took his test, I wrote back and said, had to ask him, I said, how'd you do on that test you were so overwhelmed with? He said, I made 91. Wasn't as bad as I thought. And I don't know, I hadn't revisited with him, but I bet he's not ready to quit school now. And I bet he's been inspired again that he can do more. This lesson is scriptural from Peter today. You see, Peter was tired and frustrated. He was at his wit end. He was at his quitting point. Maybe, who knows? He'd caught nothing. He was tired and frustrated, but here is where Peter resisted the temptation. And it's the encouragement for us, church, for us people of faith, when you're tired and frustrated. Embrace and remember this response of Peter. Here's what he said. We didn't catch a thing. We've worked all night, but God, if you say so, I'll let down the nets. See, when we're tired and frustrated, it's not a time for us to make decisions ourselves. It wasn't a time for Noah, Lynn, to make a decision he was ready to quit after his undergraduate. When we're tired and frustrated is when we need to rely not so much on our opinions, but on the holy guidance of God, our Lord above. Peter said, not what I want, but if you say so, Lord, I will follow. You see, when we're tired and frustrated, I've got to check the time here. I've gotten rolling and we better get somewhere with this sermon fast, right? But there are a couple of few things here that I want to point out before we leave Peter today. We've examined before how when we're tired and frustrated, we sometimes feel sapped with our energy. I want to hit that again today, a reminder we've talked about before. an acronym of how our stress level, our depression in life, our work, our athletics is beaming in on. And here's some things that we're inundated when we're sad. The S of sad is oftentimes our success is driven in the wrong direction. Peter could have got caught up in the numbers of the catch, of the revenue. But God, Jesus, said to him this, Peter, you're fixing to point your success in another direction. Not in the number of fish you catch, but in the number of people that you introduce to the love of Christ. When we are often stressed, our success is built in numbers in the wrong direction. As a pastor, as a church, we can get so wrapped up in the numbers, can't we? That we stop transforming lives and living out the love of our Lord. Friends, may we keep our success driven in the right direction so our energy won't be sapped. The A of sap is oftentimes, for me and maybe some of you, I get wrapped up in approval addiction. I want to make everybody happy. I want to make everybody love me. I want them all to think I'm the best thing since sliced bread. And God doesn't call us to that. You know what I found? When we're wrapped up in success driven in the wrong direction, we're trying to impress ourselves. We want the numbers to be what we think they should be. When we get wrapped up in approval addiction, you know who we want to impress? The other people around us. Sometimes it's the people we don't even like. We love them, but we might not even like. Why do we do that? Peter resisted that in our text today. He could have gotten wrapped up as a good fisherman. Doc, there's never been a fisherman that lied about the size of a fish or how many he caught. Peter, yes, could have got wrapped up in impressing those who were his partners or even his competitors with how many fish he caught. But he set that aside and listened to God in his time of stress and of frustration. The last letter of the SAP acronym that often engulfs us in our stress and frustration and depression is the P of perfectionism. Perfectionism. Think about it this way. When we are success driven in the wrong direction, we're trying to impress ourselves. When we're addiction approval, we're trying to impress others. When we're perfectionists, we're trying to impress God. Well, guess what? I don't think this is heretical when I say this. God doesn't need us to impress Him. God needs us to love Him and love the world around Him. Think about your parents. Think about the greatest example of love you've known on this earth, and that's just a small glimmer of your relationship with your Father in heaven. Do they want to be impressed by you? My Mama Gladys never wanted to be impressed by me. You know what she wanted me to do? Come eat Sunday lunch with her. Come love her and love others. Peter said in our text, y'all, he said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. He was wrestling at that point with his perfectionism. Jesus embraced him in his sinfulness and said, I still want you to serve. I know your sin. I know everything about you. I know you're inadequate, but that's the beauty of my grace that I would still call you and use you to proclaim my love to other people in need as well. So, dear friends, in closing, let me say this. When you're tired and when you're frustrated, go ahead and get in the boat with Jesus. And when you're tired and you're frustrated and He calls you to let down the nets, go ahead and let down the nets. And sure, there may be times when the nets start to break. It's not going to always be easy. There may be times when the boat starts to sink. But you know why that happens? Because the fruit of walking with Christ will lead us into a harvest and into an abundance of catch of joy in our life. that we would have never attained on our own. So get in the boat. Let down the nets and know the joy of serving with Christ through His love. Amen.